Expectation be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Grace and peace be unto you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn out of the dead, and the King of kings, of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this worship service by singing Psalm 47, the stanzas 1 and 2. Psalm 47, the stanzas 1 and 2. scripture reading in this morning hour can be found in the holy and infallible word of God in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, the verses 1 through 18. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And we repeat the scripture reading, John chapter 10, beginning from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, climbeth up some other way, the same is the thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. And the thief cometh not but for steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and the fleet, and the wolves catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. And I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and know of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and all the sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. And therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. And no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father. So far the scripture reading. Let us pray. O Lord, in this morning hour we are gathered together by thy divine mercy to hear what thy have to say on our way to eternity. We are in special circumstances because it is the end of times, and we live in it, and thy judgments go over the world. There is a big drought in the Netherlands, but here also it's burning everything down, the forests, and we see and we hear thy footsteps, because it is foresaid in thy word. Thy will come to judge the people on earth. O Lord, what will it be that we travel to eternity with an unsaved soul? What will it be to appear before the judgment seat of Christ unconverted? What will it be that we are called Christians and do not know thee? O Lord, thy word is not unclear of that. Because we, fallen in sin, already in paradise, not Adam and Eve only, but we all did. The sin of Adam is imputed to us. The imputation of sin is over all the inhabitants of the earth. But let it be this morning the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, that it may come to us. Because thou art the Lord to justify the ungodly. It is a strange doctrine in our days, but it is still thy word, Lord, the foundation of doctrine, the justification of the ungodly. And what that means, O Lord, that is a secret. By nature we don't understand these things. By nature we live in sin and we are full of sin. We are only sin. We are one piece of sin. If thou speak to a lost soul, they must revive. They must live, because thou speak to the dead. In due time, you died, O Lord Jesus, for the ungodly. That is written in thy word. Not for good people, not for religious people, not for believing people, but for the ungodly. Lord, that we may find out by thy Holy Spirit, that we may see what thy truth is. And not only the truth historical, but the saving truth, personal, for our own heart. We sit down, Lord, under thy word. And you have said that thy word will be the seed of regeneration. O Lord, that we may have that seed this morning in our hearts, that we may come to the knowledge of Christ, because he is the beginning and he is also the end, the never-ending end. Lord, that thy words may be in power. The preaching of the gospel is still going on, but there are so many false preachers Thy word is telling us. And that we may see it, that we may discover, first of all, that we may receive saving faith, saving grace personally. And then we understand by the limit of faith what it is to be a lost sinner, what it is to be a saved sinner, and what it will be to have an undying soul, O Lord, that it may come to us, that we may not hear a good preaching, but that we may hear thy voice, because the word became flesh, and that is Jesus Christ, him crucified. And that we may see it, Lord, that it is not only Christ, but him crucified. And that means that our words are not valid. Our doings, our thoughts, our movements are not valid for the eternity. Only thy word, only thy righteousness can save us from the wrath of God. O Lord, be with the little children. We think they cannot understand these things, but that is a big mistake. Because you have said that out of the mouth of children thy will be glorified. Very little children you can convert them, O Lord. Because you have no lust in the death of the ungodly. It is not thy pleasure that we are going to eternal destruction. But it is thy pleasure to save souls, to save little children, to save adults, fathers and mothers, to come to thy judgment seat, because we have to appear finally to the judgment seat of Christ. And then, O Lord, we can never be converted anymore. The last day is the final day. Thy come on the clouds to judge the quick and the wicked. O Lord, that it may be this day, because on this side of the grave, to be saved by thy grace alone, that thou may speak to us by word and spirit, that it may be a power in our hearts. Take away that stone heart that we have by nature and give us a new heart if you are still missing it. And we don't feel it by nature. We don't feel the burden of sin because we have pleasure on this earth, pleasure in sin. But the regeneration by the Holy Spirit, the regeneration by the voice of the Son of God, will change everything. Will change our life, not changing only, but renewing it. And that we may have a new life in Christ. And that we may are new creatures. And everything is gone. The old man is gone. The sin is gone, is still there, but you save thy people of the power of sin. You save thy people, you deliver thy people of the power of the devil. And O Lord, that we may see that we are in bondage by nature, that we cannot save ourselves, not by any thoughts, not by any doings, not by any works. We are hopeless, that we may feel it, that we may see it, that we may believe it, that we may believe thy holy law, and that we may see that our responsibility is sin in paradise. But they keep us responsible for everything. And I require thy image from us, and that can only be, Lord, in thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. He is the image of God, and he saved lost sinners. He came to this world to look after and to save lost sinners. lost sheep that cannot find the way, the right way, to go in through the narrow way. Oh Lord, that is also a secret in our days, going through the narrow gate, going over the narrow way, because thy word tell us that Christ is the door, Christ is also the way, and go into him. What does it mean? The Lord, give us grace and light that he may preach thy word and that he may believe in thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, with the help of the Lord, we will think about what we have read and what the Lord Jesus have said, what we read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. In this chapter we see the distinction between true shepherd and a false shepherd. That is always everywhere in the Bible, you know, the distinction between true and false. And by nature we cannot understand, because we have a speaking conscience, you know, but it is sinned, you know, it is full of sin. Only by regeneration and by justification, you know, we can know and we can understand by the limit of faith. And true faith, what does it mean to climb over the wall? And what does it mean to enter the narrow gate? We have to know it, because, you know, if the beginning is not good, the end will be everlasting destruction. And what does it mean to enter the narrow gate? That is to believe in Christ. But what does it mean to believe in Christ? Do we have organs to believe in Christ? No. No. No man has organs to believe in Christ. It must be a wonder, an eternal wonder, when the Lord Jesus can speak to a lost soul. It must be an eternal wonder. And that is also the experience of the God's people, you know. When they see that they are lost, that is a wonder too, you know. That is what the Spirit begins, you know, with our misery. There's not regeneration, you know. Most of the ministers in our days think that regeneration starts with misery. That's not true. The regeneration starts with deliverance of sins. Christ is the beginning of creation. That is in the Word of God. But Christ is also the beginning of regeneration. Recreation. Christ is the begin, and if you don't know Christ, you are not regenerated. No. We have read it in this chapter, you know, that even the little ones believed in Christ. So don't threat the little ones that they don't believe in Christ, because then Christ said, it is better that you have a millstone on your neck to go in the depth of the sea, and then you tread the little ones that believe in me. And there's also, you know, for everyone that believes in Christ, because the strife and the fight is always between Christ and the devil, always, until the end of the world. Christ has conquered the devil, Christ has conquered sin, you know, the death, the grave, everything. But there is still a strife, there is still a fight. The Bible calls it the fight of faith, the strife of faith. But it must be lawful, you know. A man by nature cannot strive against sin. You know, you can conquer one sin, but tomorrow 1,000 sins come back. You cannot conquer them, because it can only be by the power of the resurrected Lord. His power, you know, his power that reveals in our weakness, because we are not strong after grace.
Do you know what faith is that makes you weak?
Very weak. Faith is not a powerful thing. No, faith makes you weak because Paul said, if I am weak, I be strong in the Lord Jesus. His strength, that is after grace, so hard to understand because, you know, in the first love, you think everything, you know, when the Jews came out of Egypt, they think it is a short way to the promised land. But it was a 40-year traveling through the desert. You have to lose your power, your own strength, your own righteousness, your good doings, you know, and that will be happen in the going through the narrow gate, entering the narrow gate. That is a hidden truth. That is, we don't understand what it is. Because we need the Lord Jesus for it. We need the pulling love of the Father for it. Because a dead sinner, he lives in sin like a fish in the water. But when you're catching a fish, you came out, you know, you hooked the fish and came out of the water, he cannot live anymore on the land. He is starving. In a little moment, he will die. And that is also spiritual. We have to catch by the word, to catch by the net of the gospel. And when this happens, that is not regeneration. Because there is so misunderstanding about regeneration. What is regeneration? To be a new creation, to be a new man. Everything is done. Everything is gone. The old man, you know, and that is also the doctrine in our days. They smuggle the old man through the narrow gate. That doesn't happen. Then you are living in a dream world. By nature, we live in a dream world, for sure. We have no clue about the truth of God. And you know, we can read it and understand it literally, but the Bible is spiritual. It's a spiritual book, the book of God. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh, that is, the Lord Jesus came in the flesh, and he became flesh. Not for himself, but instead of us. Then you understand your day of baptizing, you know, when you understand what kind of zeal you have on your forehead. Paul said, if we die with Christ, what does it mean, you know, baptized in his death. If we die with Christ, we shall live with him. That is the going through the narrow gate. The narrow gate is Christ. I am the gate. I am the door, Christ said. And we must go through him to come on the narrow way. And the narrow way is also Christ. That is hidden in our days. Because going through the narrow gate, we are too big for it. We are too wide for it. We are righteous men. We are believing Christians. But the Lord Jesus is not for believing men. No. For lost. Lost men. Who can never be converted anymore. That is what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. We are thieves and robbers. Don't misunderstand the holy truth of God's words. The Lord Jesus is the truth. He is the truth, the way, and the life. So he tells us that we are thieves and robbers by nature because we are looking for salvation. Every man wants to go to heaven. Sure. But what is the way? We are always looking life by the dead. We are always looking in the wrong way. Also in the misery when when the Holy Spirit convinced a sinner, you know, that he reveals his misery and that he feels that he is lost. He is also seeking, also looking in the wrong way. We have to be reconciled with God. And we think by nature that we have something to do. As the lawyer, you know the conversation between Jesus and the lawyer? What shall I do
to have eternal salvation. What shall I do? Also the rich young man. Good master, that must be a Christian. Good master, that must be a good man. What shall I do to earn salvation? The Lord, don't preach in the gospel. I don't read that. Also to the lawyer, he don't preach the gospel, but the law. He says what is in the law. What is written in the law? The lawyer know it by head. He know everything. You know, he know all the Bible. But he don't understand spiritually. And then the Lord convinced him what it will be to be a real believer. Then he told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then finally came his judgment. Go ye therefore and do likewise. So, he never did. But he thought, you know, he was right before God, doing the law of God, but nobody does. Paul says in Romans 7 that in his early day he was without the law. Read it in Romans 7. But when the commandment came, sin revives. When the law comes in your life, then you know what the power is of the law. The law is the service of death, not the service of doing that. But the law requires complete obedience. Nothing else. That is the law of God, given on the Mount Sinai. To do everything in full obedience. And does there any man exist in the world have done this? No, even not the Pharisees. They were servant of Moses. But Moses is not Christ. Moses was the mediator of the Old Testament, not with a capital letter M. No, no. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. Christ is the mediator between God the Father and lost people. He stands between a lost sinner. He cannot come to God without Christ. It's impossible. Islam has Mohammed and Allah, but it is without a sacrifice. False religion is based on something to do. But then is there no salvation? The Lord Jesus will do everything for you or nothing. Everything. So, the old man under the law, that is a big misunderstanding in our days, because the old man have to die. I have told you that the old man is too big and too white, too strong and too great to go through that. Why is it called a narrow gate? Why? A lot of people are looking for it, you know, to go in, but they can't. Why? They won't die. You have to die to live. We are dead in sin, but the Lord says you have to be killed in that state. The old man cannot please God. An old man under the law live in sin. That is the picture of the old man. That is not the picture of God's people. By no means, no. The picture of the old man under the law, the old man stays under the law. He cannot deliver himself. He is trying to do that. What is then the solution? The solution is by the service of the law, the service of death. Paul said, when the commandment came, sin revived. And I am died. That is of the burden of sin. The burden of sin is so heavy you cannot carry it. No. No, and when you not feel it, that is not the case. That is not the case. The word of God is saying this. That we are living under the law, that we are living under the burden of sin. So don't look how heavy it is, but you cannot carry it. You cannot carry it. John the Baptist was preaching eternal condemnation for the Pharisees, and he was also preaching the gospel, see the Lamb of God, because he can deliver us from sin. And he has done everything. God the Father is reconciled with the world.
Yeah.
By Christ. But we need an application of that. We need an application of salvation to be saved, not only in the last day, but to live according to God's will. Not somebody who's saying, but who are doing the will of God will be saved forever. And what is that? What does that mean? Who does the will of God? Is that doing the law? Yeah? The law has to be fulfilled in our personal life. Absolutely, yes. God set not the law aside. No, forget it. No. Jesus came in this world not to cancel the law, no, but fulfill it. Tittle and yot, fulfill it. And we need that law filler, because the obedience of the law has to be on our account. That is our ticket for to go in heaven. So the obedience of the law, full obedience of the law, full righteousness, by doing the law, has to be on our account. Maybe you said, I've never heard that. Then you don't know what Christ has done. Christ has done the law, and God requires from us full obedience. Now we cannot do this by ourselves, because every thought, every movement, every step is evil, is sin. Everything. We are sin. We are not only doing sin, we are sin, full of sin. So we cannot please God in the nature of the old man. No, never. Can be very religious. Can be very kindly. You know, the false shepherds are very kindly. Always they have a smile on his face. But it's very dangerous to believe them. Very dangerous. And don't forget that we are fallen creatures. Fallen, what happens in paradise? We believe the lie. We believe the devil. So, don't imagine that you can believe in Jesus by your own power. No. Don't imagine that you can believe the word of God by yourself. No. Because we have believed the devil. We jumped. No, we jumped on him. He keeps us in prison, in his prison, you know. And we can only be delivered from the prison of the devil by whom, who is stronger than the devil. That is the Lord Jesus. So we need the Lord Jesus. Yeah, I was a prodigal son, you know, and I was running and driving very fast on the Broadway. So fast, nobody can stop me. And then there was a preacher on that road. So the God calling preacher, you can find him on the Broadway, because the Lord Jesus entered into Jericho, a forbidden city, you know, to save Zacchaeus, a tax collector, the worst man in that day. And that preacher on the Broadway showed me one text in the Bible. He has a book and he pointed his finger by this text that Christ in due time died for the ungodly, Romans 5 verse 6. And that was the first time that I read my name in the Bible. And my name was the ungodly. So. And that creates some hope. It was not regeneration, you know. It was not a possibility for salvation. No. And the preacher said you have to turn around to go back. But it was impossible. And I feel a drawing, something, a hidden power was pulling me. I have to enter the narrow gate. It was impossible. Impossible, because I was a great sinner, too great, too big for going through the narrow gate, to enter the narrow gate. And then the command came, and sins revive. So I tried to kill sin. I've tried everything, but nothing helped. Nothing at all. The sins came bigger and bigger and bigger, and my guilt became bigger and bigger. So, it was reached into heaven. And then I standing for the narrow gate, and I was too long, too wide and too big. So the Lord sends His law. And when the law came, what I said, sin revived. And then I feel the burden. Bunyan is written in his book, when that sinner come to the narrow gate, he tells that burden delivered from that sinner on the cross. But the cross is in the gate, not on the narrow way. The cross is in the gate. God justified the sinner in the gate. That is always in our days, in any courtroom, and there's also in the Bible, that when does it happen? When does it happen? Paul said in Romans 7 that when the command came, sin revived and I died. Was that a requiring for Paul that he do some suicide or something? No, no, no. The Lord makes not an appointment for it. When the law comes, then it comes suddenly. You not do expect it. The Lord have access to every man, to every woman, to every child, to his heart. And when the Lord came with His holy law, we cannot carry it. We cannot stand for God. When we look in the mirror of the law, that is necessary. When we look in the mirror of the law, then we see how big our sin is. We cannot overcome it. And then Paul said, I died. That is necessary, because only dead sinners will pull through the narrow gate. By that watcher, and the watcher is Christ. He is also the gate, He is also the door, He is the way, He is everything. You don't need anything beside Christ. Christ is all in all. And nobody can come to me if the Father draws him. Not with inward love, but with drawing love. That is also a distinction that most of the churches think, that the drawing love of the Father is the same of inward love. It's not true. It's not true. The law, it's a slaughter. The law is behind us. When we come in that misery, then we feel that the law is a killer. He is behind us. If we don't flee to the city of freedom is Christ. And if we don't enter to the doors of that city, we cannot be saved. And we have no power to flee to that city of freedom. We have no power by ourselves. No. No. So, the law is very powerful. It's an holy law. The law is good. He was not the killer in paradise. No. We are according to the law in paradise, in the state of, let us say, in the state of righteousness. In that state of righteousness, we have salvation in God, not by righteousness of Christ. We are created in the image of God, and we have salvation in God. But we fell out. We fell out of that image of God. And now, yeah, you can think, you can have thoughts, but cry for the Lord Jesus, thy son of David. What is the right prayer? To cry for salvation, yeah. But also, when the punishment is not accepted, you are in the wrong way. If you know that we are fallen in sin, the punishment is right. Isn't that right? The punishment is right, the eternal punishment, the eternal death, temporary death, eternal death, and spiritual death. That punishment is complete right. If we don't accept this, that is not an activity of man to accept your punishment. No man will accept that. We will be saved, but without accepting punishment. The old man doesn't accept that sin, no. So the old man must run away, must go away, must die. And that is what happens if
We will hear the voice of the Son of the God, what it's written in John 5 verse 25. The dead will hear. Verily, verily, I have to say to you, the dead will hear. The Son, the dead. Not dead man, not every dead man. The dead. In Romans 5 verse 6 it says, the ungodly, not ungodly, no. It's election, the ungodly. So that is our state. Will hear the voice of the Son of God. That is regeneration. Then you hear the word, the gospel, the promise of the Lord Jesus. His saying, that is the thing. That is the thing itself. When the Lord speaks, he speaks with power of salvation. And then it's done. It's happened in a twinkling of an eye. It's not a progress. You know, regeneration is not a progress. That's nonsense. It happens in a twinkling of an eye. When the Lord speaks to a lost soul, he will be saved. Immediately. When the Lord spoke to Lazarus in the grave, he came out immediately. It doesn't happen a couple days. No, he came. That is spiritual, also understand by regeneration. We need the Lord Jesus for it. Nobody can revive, make alive the dead. The Lord Jesus is the life itself. And the life itself speaks to the dead. He speaks to the dead. And he will be alive. That is what happens in to be a regenerated man, to be a justified man. It happens the same moment. Justification and regeneration, there is a distinction between both, but when we see Jesus on the cross, on his wounds, you know, there came out blood and water. Not mingled. No. The blood sees on the justification, point to forgiveness of sin, and the water is regeneration, not sanctification. In this chapter, it tells us the distinction between the true shepherd is the Lord Jesus himself, and the false shepherds, the lawyer, the rich young man, he was the head of the Sanhedrin of the Pharisees, but Nicodemus, even didn't know the secret of salvation. He thought, I'm a good man, I'm a Pharisee, I do nothing wrong. But when the Lord told him the doctrine of the regeneration, he thought that he must go into mother's womb. He understood it literally, but later on we know that Nicodemus was a child of God, became a child of God, because that was not for nothing, visit to the Lord Jesus. So, if you go at night to the Lord Jesus is not sleeping. I tell you that. In your lost state, if you are in a great misery, cry unto the Lord Jesus. He is not sleeping. Never. Never. But if you are too good to be bad, if you are too good to be lost, you don't have interest in a visit by night, at night, to Jesus. You have no interest in it. The Pharisees are saved by himself, but behind the garments, it was full of sin. Can look, your house can look, your house of living, you know, I mean, can look outwardly, you're very white. The Pharisees, the Lord said it. Yeah, it looks like a white house, but inwardly, it's full of sin, full of evil. That is our life by nature. We are evil. So the regeneration, you know, and the justification, we have to understand what that means, you know. Justification, that is a declaration that we are justified. It's not what Romans teach us. Romans teach that an inwardly power, inwardly sanctification, inwardly justification, inwardly righteousness, but that is totally contrary what the scriptures teaches us. Of course, God's people have the divine nature of God. What is the divine nature? That is the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That is not a power, no. That is the third person of Triune God. After forgiveness of sin, the Holy Spirit came in our life as God. Not as a power, but as God himself. Jesus Christ lives in me. That is the same thing. Paul said in
Galatians 2 verse 19, the solution of that secret.
For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live to God.
There comes a day, you know, in that state of misery, that you have to come to an end, because the end of the law is Christ. To righteousness, everyone will believe in him. The going through the narrow gate, that is the end of the law. And we are always busy with the law. We take the law as a paper and we read, oh, I shall do that, I shall do this. And like the rich young man, what shall I do? Like the lawyer, what shall I do to inherit eternal salvation? Now the Lord says, what is written in the law? We have first to understand the law, not as a paper to do, but as a service of death. Then everything what we are doing, we feel the curse on it. Everything what we are thinking, we feel our thoughts of death, thoughts of evil. Between men, between people, there can be, humanly speaking, good things. You help your neighbor when he is in need. That is not forbidden. That you cannot earn salvation with it. We think, now, if I'm doing something good, and always doing, every man by nature is pregnant of to do something. But what is belief in Christ? To do nothing. Faith is not power or a button that I can press. Now I have faith. No. Faith is a gift of God. And when this faith reveals after regeneration, the same time, but in order after regeneration. The Lord Jesus speaks to a dead soul. He revives, he comes out of the grave of his Adam existence. And he comes out of the grave, spiritual. And then he believed the Lord Jesus. Because faith is a gift of God, and the Lord, it's all from God. Salvation comes from God the Father. He is the cause. Election, we can talk over election. Election from eternity, but don't busy with that. That is a trick of the devil. After regeneration, you may understand what it is elected by God. Eternal wonder, you know. When I read Romans 5 or 6, and later on, you know, I understand that was election. But I read my name in the Bible. There was some hope, but when I come to that narrow gate, that hope was all in flames. I cannot go in through. Somebody has to pull me through, but
have you ever tried to push a cable through that little eye of a needle?
Have you tried? It's impossible. Yeah, the word says a camel, but it's not a camel, it's a cable. That's what in Greek language, a cable. Now a thick cable.
Can you push it through that little eye of a needle?
Stop it, it's impossible. That is what regeneration means. It is impossible by man himself. We need the Lord Jesus, and also after grace. Yeah, most ministers are teaching that. And that we come to the distinction of a false minister, a false shepherd. What are they preaching? Yeah, you have to be regenerated, and after the regeneration you have to do something. But do something. Yeah, you have to sanctify yourself. Oh. But in my life, the Lord Jesus revealed himself, my righteousness. You know, he's my wisdom. My righteousness. My sanctification. My complete deliverance. So, he is all in all. So, after grace, what we have to do? Nothing. But the Holy Spirit is the cause that God's people believe in Christ, and that they do God's will by the level of faith. You understand that? When Abraham was called out of Ur of Chaldeans, and God justified him,
with words. You can read it in Genesis 12. And then
the Lord spoke to Abram and gave him a command.
Take your son and sacrifice him on the mountain. And Abram obeyed the Lord. That was not the works of the law anymore. That were the works of faith. But you cannot think about, now I'm now going to do a work of faith. No, forget it. The Lord is the cause. The Lord is the reason. He gives reason for it. He speaks into your soul like he did by Abram. Take your son and sacrifice him on the mountain. And Abram did it. And the Lord was counted that faith for righteousness after grace. Because that is also a misunderstanding that the order is faith and justification. No, it is the other way around. It is justification. The Lord is first. Not a faithful man, not a believing Christian. No, the Lord is the first. And God's people is very happy with that. Because when I must be the first.
Then that first act was only sin. And my end would be
eternal destruction. If the Lord is not the first in your life, what will it be? If you are standing before the judgment seat of Christ, it will be ever lost. So, the Lord Jesus is the first. And he remains the first. Also in the life of Abram. Abram has not said, now son, I will sacrifice you to do faithful work. No. The Lord told him, after grace, if the Holy Spirit is not the cause that of experience of faith, it will be lost. We need the Lord Jesus also after grace, every day, every second. Because he said to his people, I live and you shall live. He have not said, when you shall live, you have something to do. No, he never said that. He said, because I live, you live. To live out of Christ, to live of the sacrifice of Christ. And Jonah went the wrong way. Jonah, he was disobedient, but the best preacher in the Old Testament. I tell you that. He went the wrong way. Okay. Was disobedient, yeah, the minister told you. Don't look to Jonah because he went the wrong way. But was a very good preacher, yeah. What was the reason that Jonah went the wrong way? I said, no, the column of Nineveh, I decline it. Bye-bye, I go to holiday to Tarsus. But the Lord found him on the sea in a big storm. Yeah, Jonah said to the sailors, I am a Hebrew, so I fear in God. And I'm the cause of that storm, so throw me overboard. That is what must happen in our life. We must go overboard. But Jonah went the wrong way because the Jews are still unconverted. That was the reason. And he hate that the Lord converted the heathen first. He hated. And that was the reason he went the wrong way. So Jonah was preaching and his sermon was very short. 40 days and the city will be destroyed. That must be a calling in our personal life. Don't look to the heathens. Because the Ninevites will stand up in the day of judgment to judge that reformed people that don't believe in Christ, that don't believe the God of wonders, that don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That will be happened. You can say, I meet different people, say, now we have a minister that's so good. Except that if your minister is so good, why are you still unconverted? Can you stand before the judgment seat of Christ with a good minister? It must be personal. Personal. And the Lord God keeps us responsible for our fall in Adam. Don't forget it. And if you try to work with your responsibility, the end will be the death. Because we have sinned our responsibility in paradise. So there is one thing left to go through the narrow gate. Yeah. It's not my choice, no. That was God's election, later on, understand. And that must happen with all of us. Because the Lord God, it's not His pleasure, the death of the ungodly. It's not His pleasure. No, absolutely not. He loves to convert sinners, lost sinners. We have to become what we are, lost sinners. Not good men, not Christians, not believers, lost sinners. And that kind of people, lost sinners, earn eternal judgment. Is that right? Is that honest? That is honest, right? The Word of God is honest. So we have to accept our judgment. And when does it happen? By the murderer on the cross. When he accepts his judgment. When he sees the unguilty Christ on the cross. The willingness of Christ to save sinners. He says to the other, we are worthy to hang here, you know. We are worthy to undergo our punishment. There's not wrong, there's right. He was very sure that his destination was eternal hellfire. And he cried to the Lord Jesus, remember me, think about me. He doesn't cry for conversion. I don't read this. He was only satisfied with one thought of Christ. Even when he came in hell. One thought of Christ in hell, then hell must be heaven. And then grace fall free. Grace fall free. Grace fall free, that must be happening in our life. It must be free grace. Then it is called free grace. It must be fall free.
And then it sounds, verily I say to thee, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise.
In paradise. Right now, at this moment. It must be happen on this side, on the grave. So, don't be satisfied with an earthly life. You can have friends, good friends, friends who help you in need, can be, yeah. Good thing, yeah. We are guilty to help our neighbor, to love our neighbor, to love our enemies.
But by nature we won't do this. And to have good friends, you cannot appear for the judgment seat of Christ. You cannot stand for it. The summary of the law must be fulfilled in our life.
But what is the summary of the law? The Lord Jesus Him crucified. And faith in Him, you know, then put the Lord God on our account.
The righteousness of Christ. What does that mean?
To love God above all, and to love our neighbor like ourselves. That is the summary of the law. Jesus Christ Him crucified. And the lawyer doesn't understand. The rich young man doesn't understand. He goes home with sorrow. But that was an enmity, an enmity. He cried out, I cannot sell my farm, I cannot sell my things, what I have. He sell everything you have and return to me and take your cross and follow me. That price was too high. That price was too high for him. If we know our existence, you know, if we know our existence in Adam, then we cannot wait till tomorrow.
When I was in a deep state of misery, then there was a big thunderstorm.
I was absolutely sure of it, that the last thundering, the last lightning
would come through the roof, and the end of my life was there.
When punishment is revealed, we have no escape anymore. Everything is cut off. To do good, we can do nothing but evil. We can do nothing but evil. But the Lord Jesus did everything well. The Lord Jesus did everything good. He has no sin. He has no knowledge of sin.
But when the Lord Jesus was in Gethsemane,
he cried to his Father, Father, take this cup of wrath away. But not my will happens, thy will. And when he accepted this cup of terror, this cup of eternal wrath, he feel the burden of sin in his clean soul. What does it mean? Think about it. The Lord Jesus accept our burden of sin to carry them away by his own blood, by his own sacrifice. He gives his life. Nobody was taking his life. He gives his life to lost sinners instead of lost sinners. He has fulfilled the law in our place because the Word became flesh. So that is in Dutch the plaatsvervanging.
That is a strange doctrine in our days, but it is the Word of God. It is the doctrine of Christ.
The most ministers tell, yeah, that the Lord Jesus is paying our guilt, and that's it.
He became a sinner by imputation.
Think about it.
He became a sinner instead of us. He has said, Lord God, in paradise, he puts Adam behind his back. I am Adam. I am the sinner.
And I have never sinned. He was completely righteous.
He has no knowledge of sin.
No.
He has no will to sin.
No. He never sinned. The Heidelberg Catechism says it.
We need a mediator who is also God and man.
Why man?
Because the man has sinned and man has to pay.
And why does that mediator have to be God?
Because to give his sacrifice an eternal value. His resurrection out of the dead is the salvation of dead sinners. He has died because of our sin, and he is resurrected to give us salvation, to give us justification, to give us righteousness in the eyes of God. We have to stand before God with the righteousness of Christ. We can stand for God with imputed righteousness. Imputation, not impartation. That is papacy, Roman Catholic. They teach us, and in many Protestant churches, they teach impartation. That is not the truth. Imputation. Justification is a declaration of freedom, forgiveness of sins. God's people are not justified, are not righteous people himself.
No.
But something happens, preacher, in the regeneration. Yeah, the will of the old man will be destroyed. Yeah, we receive a new will.
To do the will of God.
That is true, but there is nothing else than love in our hearts. But flesh, is still flesh. It's not holy flesh. That is the reason that we have to die. Because the old man is gone, going through the narrow gate, but the corpus of the old man is still there. The corpus of the old man. These hands, you know, have to die. This man has to die. But my soul is ever saved. And then we receive in the resurrection of the dead a new body. The Lord Jesus, when he resurrected out of the dead, he has
a new body.
It was still flesh. Give me something to eat, he said to his disciples. But it was still flesh. He can eat as a man, but his body was a holy body. It was an eternal body. It was a divine body. And that is what we need after that. We receive a divine body.
Be aware, only the real people of God.
Because otherwise, the old man cannot exist in heaven. Don't forget it. Then will heaven be hell for an old man under the law. But a new man cannot be in hell. Oh no. The devil will throw you out hell.
So to say,
Jonah cannot be in the fish any longer. No, because he was a servant of the Lord. And he has a calling to preach to Nineveh. And it happens, you know. Yeah, it went to the depth of the sea. That is the way. That is the way it happens spiritually. The gospel is not, I said, EHBO. EHBO, do you know what I mean? EHBO?
First aid. That means
a helping hand.
If there is a terrible accident, the ambulance will come to take care of the wounded.
He gives you some medicine, but that is not, you know, that is not saving grace. No, no, no. God's people are found, be found on the bottom of the sheep.
Lord Jesus finds the lost sheep in the depth of the pit. That has nothing to do with EHBO. That's free grace.
And the Lord Jesus was in hell, in the grave, going down into hell, it says in the Apostle Creed, but that means the grave. You know, the grave is hell. Because if you are not in the grave of Christ, if you have not been in the grave of Christ, there is no salvation. Only if we died with Christ, if we die with Christ, we will live with Him. That is the way, that is the way. So, the life is after the death. And it must be happen on this side of the grave. It must be happen on this side of the grave. First, let me sing Psalm 47, verse 3. Praise His majesty understandingly. God is King alone on His holy throne. And what follows in verse 3 of Psalm 47. First, sanctification without justification. If you hear the preaching in our days, you hear always sanctification, but not justification. No. And what are the false shepherds' purpose? No, it says in the Bible, stealing, killing, and destroying. Stealing, killing, and destroying. They go for wool, yarn, not for the sheep. It's a false shepherd. It's a hireling. They're attacking the good shepherd because they're always catching the Lord Jesus on his words and also God's people. They turn it around
is diabolus, diabolus. That is what the false shepherds are doing. They pluck the apple before the tree is planted.
They want to be fruitful, but their fruit are all plastic apples.
They live in a dream world. By nature, we live in a dream world. They are plucking apples before the tree is planted. Yeah. That is also the same, to preach sanctification before, without justification. Sanctification cannot happen, then there is no forgiveness of sin. No. Never. You have to know that your sins are forgiven. And if the Lord speaks to your lost soul, your sins are forgiven. That is not a progress. Again, that is not a progress. Regeneration is no progress. No. It happens in the twinkling of an eye.
But there is much more what the false shepherds are doing.
The preaching is a false gospel to do something. Don't forget it, never. To do something. To add something
to
the sacrifice of Christ. You have to do the law after receiving grace, they told us. Is that true? No. Because I told you, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 13, that
Christ
is for God's people, wisdom by God, complete righteousness, full sanctification. The Lord is my sanctification. What do I have to do if the Lord is my sanctification? You can be laid down on a deathbed. You have no reality of daily life anymore. And if the Lord is your righteousness, He will be your sanctification. What can the murderer on the cross? Can he move his fingers? Can he came off the cross? Can he came to do some good works, to do a holy life? Nay, the Lord Jesus was his sanctification, because he was his justification. You will be with me in paradise. That is complete salvation. The Lord, the words of the Son of God, gives complete salvation. You have nothing to do anymore.
Be aware only in the framework of application.
The love of Christ, that is another love, what the ministers in our days are preaching, you know, to be kind, yeah, to everyone, and let everyone in his state. That is not the truth. No, you have to warn. But false preachers can have a warning finger, but that is not enough. No. They have to tell you what free grace is. They cannot give you. But the Lord is speaking by the preaching of the word. It must be not a partial of the word insulated of the other parts. No, no. It must be the complete revelation of God. We cannot say the whole word in one sermon, but it must be in according to the complete will of God, yeah, revealed in His word. And the false preachers are very friendly and have always a smile on their face. They seem angels of light. So be aware of it. There is a sign on this driveway, beware the dog. But you know, that sign must be 10 times bigger to watch the angels of light in our days. Because flesh accepted easily. Flesh. Remember what we have done in paradise? We believe the lie of the devil. So, that is our existence. To believe the lie above the truth. Don't imagine that you can believe the truth.
By nature.
Because the truth is hatred from the beginning. That is true. But in our days, there is no freedom of speech anymore. That means there is no freedom of faith anymore. True faith. I don't accept all that false religions in our days, but that is what the politics says. There is freedom of all kind of faiths. No, that is not the Bible teaching us. There is one true faith, there is one freedom of true faith. What the Bible is teaching us here in this chapter, false preachers will not be persecuted.
That is also a big mark.
Because they preach Jesus, but not Him crucified. Listen carefully. False preachers will not be persecuted because they have an agreement with hell and a covenant with the devil. If they look like friendly men, you have to understand, you have to make distinction. And you can only do that by the Holy Spirit. So if you miss the Holy Spirit, even you cannot think about it, what is left after the fall in Adam, that is a speaking conscience, but it is sinned. We cannot have clearly thoughts, we cannot have the right thoughts.
By nature we are complete without the true experience of faith.
You have to be reborn again. Entering the narrow gate, the false preachers are leading the people to climb over the wall, and it ends up in eternal death. And they watch at him and send four spies who should find themselves just men that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. That is also in our day. Don't deceive yourself. That is in our days too. That is not history only. That is in our days too. They preach Jesus, but not Christ him crucified. So what I told you. They preach the Lamb of God, but not the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. Because that Lion, that is Jesus, if it goes to himself, if they spit him in the face, he accepted. If he was slandered, he accepted. But if they slandering the name of his father, he was the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. Look to the cleaning of the temple place. He take a stick.
Because it says, and when he had made a stick, a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. He drove out all
the selling and buying people there. That is the church in our days. It is a business. It became a business. You know, democracy. It is democracy and love to each other. But it is deceiving you. God's way of grace is not based on democracy, it's on eternal election. God is not democratic, no, forget it. He is God and he remains God. The false preachers, they proclaim a false love according to the flesh, not the love of Christ, because true love is always according to God's judgment.
And his righteousness.
The love of Christ
is not contrary God's righteousness. When the holy law of God is not be glorified, warning after warning not be glorified,
then the love of Christ is hidden. It is hidden in the judgment of God.
Hidden in the garments of his judgment. Luther said, and it was a very good statement, he said, when the so-called love means accepting sin
in spite of the word of God, he said, if heaven and earth will be moved, I don't care, then we have to stand before the honor of God for his name. And that was Aunt Lena, you know, God fearing old woman. If you have nothing to do with the honor of God, you are not a child of God. No.
I have met several people, many people, who put their love, the so-called love, above the honor of God. But that are deceivers, hypocrites. And that is the church in our day.
And you see the distinction from God, you know. The Lord gives Peter a look
in the heart of Simon the Magian, because Simon, he offered some money to receive the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to do what the apostles did, lay their hand on the heads of the believers and they received the Holy Spirit. He wanted to do the same, but Peter said to him, thy money perish with thee, because thou had thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. For I perceive
Peter said that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.
If you don't know yourself in the sight of an holy God,
you will deceive yourself.
If you know yourself, if you have the true self-knowledge, you know everyone. I know you, I know you, I know you, I know you, because.
And what does it mean, that self-knowledge?
Nobody is asking for God, nobody. Damnable with the whole world, Paul said in Romans 3.
That is self-knowledge.
We are cursed, our own fault, our own choice. The choice is already made in paradise. You know, the choice, our choice, is already made in Genesis 3. And we have chosen the devil, we have chosen the sin, and we live therein, you know, we are bounded, we are in bondage, under the law, and the claim of the law lay on every inhabitant of the world. So, and God delivers his people, and then you can make a distinction, you know, what it is, the distinction between true preaching, true shepherds, and false shepherds.
Based on the word of God, and by true faith, of course.
False shepherds, they preach contrary to the honor of God by preaching a gospel according to man. And Paul said, if I preach the gospel according to man, I am not a servant of Christ. Think about it. For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet pleased man, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the false preachers are blind, blind watchmen. They are ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. The Bible said it in Isaiah 56, verse 10. They are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. That is what the Lord Jesus told us. They are go for stealing, killing, and destroying. With kind words, with a smile on his face, it sounds a biblical sermon, it sounds. Yeah, and I have met so many men, our church, our minister, our did and our dad, you know, are you converted already? And then the car stands still. I've met people of God. I have a brother in Alberta and I have brothers in the Netherlands, you know, but they live outside of the church. And that is what the Bible said.
Let us go for therefore to him without a camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
To carry what carry his cross. The slandering of religious people, persecution. With him, or with him, not without him, with him. And then you are very happy. In spiritual meaning, you are the happiest man or woman or child in the world, because you have always the hands of God around you. A step further. I have graven thee in both of my hand palms. Thy walls are always before me. So, the Lord, the good shepherd, is take care of his sheep. And that is always the last, I made the last distinction. False shepherds are driving, you know, with the stick. But the good shepherds go before his sheep. He lead them in the right way. He don't say, go for it. You know what he's saying? Follow me. The Lord Jesus is always in the front of his people. Always. If you are in the waves, if you are on the sea, if you are in fire, the Lord Jesus is always in the front of you. And it can be that you would not see that anymore. It's like Peter was on the waves. He stepped out of the boat and he was on the waves. And there came a wave, a big wave, between him and the Lord Jesus. And then he failed in his faith and he sank in the depth. But he has faith because he cried out, "Lord, help me." That was faith. Little faith maybe, but it was faith. What did the good shepherd said? Go to the depth, it is your own guilt. No, he helped him out of the depth. That is what the Lord Jesus is doing every day. If you see that a little bit, you know, if you may see that a little bit, you can be found on your knees to praise the Lord every day. There can be an earthly judgment, a divine judgment on earth, that God's people in the water flood in 1953, also God's people died. Some of God's people died. But there was, in some villages, of one village, God's people, the Lord revealed that the flood was not coming to their village. So it happens, you know, it happens. God makes the distinction, because if God's people die, that is not bad. Absolutely not. Because after the death, life is prepared. Life is prepared. Eternal life. So we are temporary on earth. And think about it. When I look back, I'm now 61. But it is like a shadow. It suddenly disappears, you know, like our life is like a shadow. It comes and it goes. And God gives you the time to convert yourself to Him. How does it happen? Cry for the Lord Jesus. Don't start some works. Stop it. Cry for the Son of God. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Don't stop it until you have no voice anymore. Like that lost sheep has no voice anymore. Broken legs, was in the depth. Cannot help himself anymore. But the Lord Jesus came to this world to look and to save lost sinners. And you will be saved. If you are be a lost sinner, a lost sheep, oh Lord, help me. And the prayers become shorter and shorter and shorter. And then it comes a day that you cannot pray anymore. And then John 17 come in the picture. The prayer of the high priest. And he will always be heard by the Father. Always. Because his prayer is a command. God the Father cannot deny his prayers. No. Never. And when the sheep cannot pray anymore, then the good shepherd is still looking for you. If you are in the depth, the Lord, cry to the Lord Jesus. If you cannot cry anymore, look to the heaven. Lord, come over and help me. Save my undying soul, because I cannot help myself anymore. I've earned eternal punishment, oh for sure. But Lord, I've heard that you came to this world to save sinners. I'm the biggest. I'm the greatest. I'm the chief of sinners. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And if you cannot cry anymore, the Lord cries, Father, I don't want that this sinner will be lost. That is the mediator between God and the lost sinner. I don't want that this sinner will be lost forever. Because I have given my blood. I have given my own sacrifice. And I require that this sinner have forgiveness of sins. And God the Father agree with that requiring completely. Absolutely. The Lord Jesus, what is his love to save lost sinners? Absolutely.
I can tell you that out of my own life.
I was lost. I can never be saved anymore. Never. And then the Lord Jesus came in my life as the beginning.
If Christ becomes the beginning of salvation in your life, in the framework of application, then will you be on the end? On the end of the law, accepting your punishment willingly, then you will be a subject ready for the fire. But at that moment, he said to me with power in my heart, I live and you will live.
And that was salvation. And I am with you. And Lord, I am with you every day until the end of the world. Go ye therefore, teach all nations.
I am standing here in the column of Jeremiah in the west, and a mission calling for the heathen.
The Lord has always four servants. That is a symbolic number. Also, the 7,000, what the Lord said to Elijah, I have 7,000 people left that no bow down his knees for the idol Baal. But that is symbolic. There can be two
children of God,
two or three or five, maybe 1,000, maybe 10,000, I don't know. The Lord knows. But he moves his candlestick to other countries. If John the Baptist starts his preaching, he was the only one. If Samson was a judge, did his work according to his calling, he was the only one. He fought with the Philistines as one single man, and he conquered them. Also, in the temple of Dagon, he conquered all that heathen, and he fell down from the top of honor in everlasting destruction. That is what the Lord Jesus is doing in our days. He has done it on the cross. It is all fulfilled. But he is still doing that in the life of God's people. He is always in the front of God's people, always. Yeah, and there is a strife, the devil comes. You have a work of God in Jesus Christ in your life. The devil is your enemy. If you live by nature, very religious, kindly,
then the devil has nothing to do with you. He let you go in false peace.
Go in peace, he said. But if you have a salvation work of Jesus Christ in your life, all the enemies, all the devils come out of the hell and will strive, will bring you in doubt. Oh, for sure. God's people is many times in fear.
In 1,000 fears.
If the Lord hid his face, David said, Saul will kill me in one of these days. That is the way of God's people. It is a battlefield here on earth. But see the glorification of Christ. See of eternal salvation.
For God's people, this life will be a tribulation of 10 days. And after 10 days, the tribulation will over forever and ever.
And when you fear the Lord, you may go in heaven to be always with him. With him. And there is God, all in all. Amen. Lord, we thank thee for thy word, because you have said a little bit about it. It's so little bit that it cannot stand before you. Only by application of salvation.
Give us entering through the narrow gate.
Give us that we may walk on the narrow way. Give us that we write a letter to the world. Farewell. I don't love you anymore, because the Lord Jesus loves me, and I love him because his eternal love. And that love that separates us from the world, from ourselves, because that corpus of the old man cannot block the way to heaven, because we have to die, and after that is eternal life. Also on this side, on the grave, by faith, but then we will see him face to face. Lord, give us grace every second, because we are so fleshly, sold in the sin. But thou art always in the front of thy people. We have heard that thou art the door, thou art the way, thou art the true shepherd, looking for lost sheep every day.
also at night. If we are in the existence of our night in Aden, thou art not sleeping. Thy hear every prayer, if it is prayed in truth, if it is prayed honest, that we may become what we are, lost sinners. We can be saved by the Lord Jesus. Lord, be with us all this day, for his sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, him greatly loved, within the city of our God, to him you thankful praises render, his holy mountain soars in splendor. And what follows? Psalm 48. Reveals his face unto you and give you peace. Amen.